Welcome to yet another interview by Project Cargo Weekly. And our special guest of honor today is Mr. Stefan Wiegratz, Line Manager Multipurpose of Hugo Stinnes Line in Rostock, Germany. First of all, welcome, Stefan.
Yeah, welcome, Bo. Thank you for the opportunity and, of course, the time spending with me. Yeah, thank you.
You are most welcome. And I think, when did we actually meet last time? You mentioned it earlier before we started recording here that, was it in Antwerp some years ago?
Yeah, we met in Antwerp for the first time. So I was thinking about this morning. It was 2011 for the first time. So a long way past. I think we met afterwards again, but there's always a new now. So
that's how time goes. For me, you can say it's many kilos ago. Yeah,
it's what you say.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Stefan, let's get on with it. First of all, please explain a little bit about your own background, because that's my usual style. I always allow my accused or interviewees to tell a bit about themselves. How did you get into shipping? Who are you? How come you are where you are, please?
Yeah, I came to Rostock when I was a child. So my father came here as a Marine and was stationed here in Rostock for a certain time. So I grew up in this region. Then after school, you don't really know what to do. So my plan was basically to join shipping on board, so to become a nautical officer, be a captain sooner or later. But the times were changing. The availability of traineeships was reduced because of German flag was changing, of course, to flags of convenience. There were a lot of changes in 2006, 2007 when I was grown up. So I decided to start maritime study on the University of Wismar, a small Hanseatic city some kilometers away from Rostock, joining a maritime logistics study as a bachelor degree some years ago. Okay. I graduated after trainings and so on. And finally, found the way into Stinnes 2011.
Okay, very good. And I think Stinnes has a long history of ship owning, or let's say liner services to South Africa, to Central America, Mexico. Tell us a little bit about the Stinnes company. What is currently the situation for you, and where do you have services?
Yeah, the Stinnes company, the roots are going back 1810, but we should not talk about these old days. The first transatlantic service was established in the 1920s, connecting Europe and Mexico under the family umbrella of the Stinnes family. Okay. A lot of things changed in the meantime. Partners came and got off the relationship. Then you had the reunion in Germany, where a lot of things changed. You had an Eastern German company, the DSR. You had this Stinnes company in the former Federal Republic of Germany. So lots of changes. The current setup as it is now is leading back to 2008, when the company became again into private ownership, operated the transatlantic services down to South Africa, basically in break bulk and containers. And since these days, a lot of things happened. We joined a bigger group of shipping lines back in 2017. So the Vineta Group, which is also the mother company for well-known shipping lines like Max, traditional service down to South Africa, in about a similar setup as if we are now. And of course, the third company, the Gulf Africa line, which is also under the umbrella of MAX, to connect transatlantic shippings.
Okay.
So in every every different destination and into the different.
If we take that's good to hear, Stefan. And now I recall that you are with the group that you belong to now, and you mentioned MAX. I saw some of their ships in Cape Town when I visited there last year, and of course the old name you mentioned, Deutsche Seereederei DSR, was also famous for Project Cargo, Pasewalk, Pritzwalk, Flieger, Cosmonaut der DDR, Sigmund Jahn, und so weiter.
The longest shipping ship name ever, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Very long for the Bill of Lading. But tell me about currently, for example, if we start with a Europe to Mexico, Central America service, tell me how often do you have sailings, the type of vessels, and what ports of call do you have on this multipurpose service?
Yeah, the service setup is based on three legs in Europe, which are basically Bremen, Antwerp, and the north coast of Spain, specifically the port of Bilbao. Mm-hmm. Yeah, connecting these three origins with destinations in Mexico, two ports, Veracruz, Altamira, and yeah, making the final loop into the United States Gulf. Calling New Orleans on the regular liner service. Frequency is between every 3 and 4 weeks, so you can say an average we operate three ships circling the Atlantic between Europe and US Mexico and back and forth. The ships we use are multi-purpose ships. The main tonnage size we use is 17,000 tons deadweight, so okay. A capacity of roughly 15,500 tons of cargo weight on board. Owned ships belonging to the group of Vineta, charter tonnage from the market, and of course our long-term partners. And this liner service is the only one operating on vessels with up to 300 tons of lifting capacity crossing the Atlantic these days. Yeah.
That was really an interesting part, and also why I was very keen, of course, to meet you again, but also to hear about this, because finding a break bulk service regularly across the Atlantic, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, unless you want to charter, a BBC vessel or something similar. That's so basically you have a liner service with heavy lift capacity, and it's always the same route. So it's reliable. I mean, you can trust it. In a couple of weeks, there's another vessel, isn't it?
That's the way. And that's also the reason for this kind of setup lasting now for a long time. I mean, these Mexico sailings, like I said, they started 1920-something. And of course, the destinations are still the same. So the ports we call did not change much. And what the people like is that we don't make too many experiments around these regular sailings, because being part of a supply chain, and we are part of the supply chain for different commodities, especially automotive production, especially machinery and heavy lift transport. You cannot disappoint your clients too often, and especially not too long. So this must be something reliable. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like my marriage. I mean, I had disappointed a few in the past, and now I stick to the liner service. So you know the drill.
May she bring you across the waters, always calm and safe. Yeah.
As they say, happy wife, happy life. Yeah. Anyway, to get further on to the services that you provide, for example, on the GAL, tell me again, what does that stand for? The GAL service down to South Africa. That's out of US Gulf, yeah?
Yes, correct. That's basically led by our two sister offices in the United States and down in Cape Town. Okay. This being said, it's a multi-purpose service as well, with a certain frequency operating similar cargoes, operating of course the similar client bases, and to build a triangular of services together with our sister service down to South Africa from Europe. So and basically this GAL, Gulf Africa Line, is it's the trading name, belongs to the Max Group, and it's firming up under the name of Max United States. Yes,
and they have heavy lift capacity as well on the Gulf Africa Line service.
Yeah, you have on one hand you have the heavy lift capacity ships that are employed in the service. On the other hand, when you call ports on a frequent and regular basis, you also have your tools how to upgrade the vessels using external crane support. Or just looking for the right ship for the specific shipments. When they are a bit abnormal, of course, you need to look for other solutions.
Right. So the ports of call, if you mentioned the ports of call for the GAL service, would be main ports in the Gulf, would be?
It's basically New Orleans, so where we have the direct link to the Stinnes Transatlantic service and Houston, down to South Africa and Namibia. So calling Cape Town, Durban, of course, all the important ports in the region with connection up to Mozambique. Yeah, that's the thing. And where is, of course, the value behind these interactions between different services.
I think it makes a lot of sense because you are not only coming there once a month, then suddenly the GAL vessel is coming, then there's the MAX vessel. And so you are a regular frequent visitor. That means you theoretically or practically at least get more attention from the ports too, I should imagine.
Yeah, and you share the same customers, like I said. So when they have a demand, which might be a bit unusual, you can just think about it, offer them maybe a connection. There is, of course, some feeder network behind where you always have these kind of synergies behind. Different liner services. It's interesting.
Understand. Also, one question to you. As you know, the shipping industry is developing all the time. Sometimes the ship owner wants to be a forwarder. Sometimes the forwarder wants to be a ship owner and the one-stop shop. Are your customers, let's say I'm a project forwarder and I come to you with a project down to Cape Town, for example, or even to the US Gulf. Then if another forwarder come with the same inquiry, you would give the forwarders the same price. I mean, you would treat everyone neutrally and equally, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's basically the thing. If you want to be a reliable partner to everybody who might need you in future and now, you cannot play this game. Because when you see the ship line being a part of the full supply chain of a cargo, from the factory to the final installation place, the difference, this is at least my philosophy or our philosophy, the shipping line should not be the difference or should not be deciding whether the war is won or lost. So basically it's a war of transport companies. It's a war of forwarders, if I may declare it like this, fighting for cargo and fighting for the attention of the producers to the final place. And we should not be the one making the real decisions. Of course, we have long-term partners. I remember we have a lot of clients coming back to us, valuing this kind of service, using us, of course, honoring the flexibility you have when they may have some more cargoes, less cargo on specific sailings, that there's always a flow of ships that they can use.
Right. Then another question, for example, I'm, as you know, I'm located physically in Sweden, and there are some countries, let's say in the north of Europe or south of Europe, where you don't necessarily have your own offices. Do you, in those places, have the same agency network under Stinnes and Max, for example, or are they separate agencies? Do you have a separate marketing? That's one question. The second question would be, I want a rate on Max. Would I then go to you or you would then refer me to the Max office? Or how does it work as such?
Yeah, first of all, talking about the agency network, of course, we have our own offices in many of the places where we interact in places like Sweden or in Norway or in Denmark, for example. you have to go back a bit in history, because both companies, they were independent in the past and they both established their own networks. So bringing together two of these companies is always linked to a development process. Everybody has his strengths in a certain region, has chosen maybe a better partner in either Sweden or other Scandinavian places. So it's a development process. Of course, you want to have as many information as you can get. You would like to have a full knowledge about the local market. And sometimes it's even better to have two independent partners marketing for the same group.
Yeah, for different services,
And as long as you don't treat them different in regards to sea freight rates, it's a good aspect, I see. Yeah, when you have questions or cargo shipment requests for example, down to South Africa on breakbulk service, we have the task, of course, to ask our team in the in Hamburg. So in the headquarter, leading the MAX service, my teammates, or so to say my partners of the lines management in Hamburg, and just to relay the question there. So we will connect, of course, our clients with the people who can give them the best support.
Right. So bottom line, you can say MAX is mainly run on a, let's say, day-to-day basis in Hamburg, and you and Rostock are running the two other, let's say, services. I mean, would that be a fair assumption to say? I mean, if I have an inquiry for MAX and I call you, then you would refer me to Hamburg.
Of course. So the down for South Africa, it's Hamburg. We have the South African office dealing northbound trading on this multi-purpose service. We have the own office in Houston taking care of the direction from the States down to South Africa.
Okay. Good.
So there is always, of course, an independency in this regard. But we interact. We have daily and weekly telephone conferences between the offices. Of course, the head or the umbrella on top is the family-owned management. They just play it in this way, that everybody has his strengths. We should cooperate. And this is what we do successfully, I think.
Well, I mean, I can only say that I've not heard any bad name about Stinnes in the market. And of course, it's...
Thank you.
I'm not saying it only because I'm interviewing you. But of course, I haven't asked too much. But anyway, honestly speaking, shipping world, somehow it's big. But on the other hand, it's also quite small. I mean, we are the same players who move around from place to place. So... How has the COVID and all this irritating pandemic, has that affected your business overall?
Yes, I would lie if I would say no. Especially that, the cargo flow, the time of reaction, the decision-making process within shippers, forwarding companies, even in the shipping lines changed. The way of communication changed in this case, that now we sit together in front having a video interview instead of a direct interview. So that's another thing. And so the way of communication changed a lot. If I look on the service itself, on the filling of the ships and so on, it's a bit difficult to say, because the first part of this COVID wave was still very strong. Then you had, for example, shut down in Mexico and in the United States, which was very strict. So you felt the direct influences, because the factories there, they're not demanding any more cargo to be converted into cars, for example. So the volumes, they get up and down during this time. And it's, of course, important that you have a open mindset, a flexible setup. We could charter other ships, for example, smaller, bigger, or our standard sizes, a bit left and right, but to keep the service running. Right, that is most important.
I think it seems to me that you have the best of both worlds. You have only you have not only what you can call a regular line of service that is trustworthy, but you also have the capability within your group through your strength to find other tonnage so that the customer wouldn't know the difference actually. So
yeah,
it sounds good
exactly.
To me.
Yeah.
How do you see the future for 2021 for the Stinnes Lines multipurpose and your group? Do you see, nobody can predict the future, as a wise man said, but what's in your crystal ball?
I think the same water like everywhere. Or maybe air. It's really difficult to say.
Yeah.
I mean, we are now, and every country has to be seen differently.
Yeah.
We have different situations all over. You look, you cannot forecast that 2021 will be a noiseless year with business as usual. You don't know how the COVID wave 3, 4, 5, however it's developing, may influence the supply chains. So this is very much difficult to say. We are confident. We got a good feedback from our regular clients, from our contract partners and so on, that they expect at least stability all over the year, because everybody learned how to use this special situation and how to work this special situation. And that's the only thing I can say at the moment.
It was a difficult question. I don't even know myself what we are going to do here. So nobody can predict. We can only hope for the best, and especially that the vaccine will be rolled out as quick as possible. And another question to you, one of my final questions here. I know that, and it's totally, let's say, different from shipping, although it's related. I know that Max down to South Africa, they have a tradition of taking passengers on board. Do you also take passengers on the Stinnes line into Gulf and Mexico? Is that a possibility?
We did.
Okay.
These days, we have a mixture of charter ships and group-owned ships. We have,
okay,
of course, another approach and another chance. Basically, this trade or this travel on board of the own ships is the possibility that I would like to show. When you have external partners giving you the tonnage for use, you operate the vessels, you have another way of decision making. Yeah, it's you are only participating on the tonnage. It's a bit different.
Tonnage sharing, yeah. No, I fully understand. I know it is in this pandemic time when we can't fly and whatnot. I know there is a certain niche market for older people. I'm soon belonging to one of them who would like to have a long
you
holiday.
You don't look like, but
thank
you say so.
Well, actually, I'm turning 59 next month. So, it's time goes, as we say, you know, Stefan. But listen, fantastic. I think you answered very clearly on all of the questions, and I can only say great to have had you in this interview, and I wish that your group with all the lines that you do represent, we will do what we can to give you more exposure, and I want to thank you formally.
Thank you from my side. It was a nice talk. May the shipping world be nice and bright.
Yeah, definitely, Stefan. And I would like to say to all our listeners, viewers and readers around the world, this was yet another great interview, especially in my view, with the line manager, Mr. Stefan Wiegratz of Stinnes Line Multipurpose in Rostock. And I will see you in a week again or so with yet another interview.